This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Tell me the Christmas story.
So like the Jesus Christmas story?
I don't know what it begins with.
And upon a manger, we...
A lady named Mary, and she was working from the... They had to get...
Took a lot of days, and she was kind of getting hungry.
They had... The baby was...
Somebody finds the baby, and then they bring him inside.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Hoping that Jesus was in the manger there?
No!
And what did the angel say?
About Jesus.
And all those other people, were they all at the first Christmas?
Yes.
What is Twilight doing in there?
That isn't it.
What? Well, they're in the stable.
But they're not in the story.
Well, the story gets confused sometimes, doesn't it? And today, we need to talk about a very important principle about the story. It is something that people do all the time. And I'll start with confession time for you. How many here have ever re-gifted a gift at Christmas time? Would you be honest enough to say so? Or I'll brown it. Birthdays, showers, weddings. How many here have ever re-gifted? And for those of you who may not know, that term got in the lexicon about 10 years ago. Anybody know what TV show did it? Jerry Seinfeld. It was in the Seinfeld show. And he referred to, one of the ladies on the show referred to a gift that somebody had given to her, and she gave it to somebody else. I think it was a label maker or something like that. And they said, oh, they're a re-gifter. And so re-gifting ended up in our national language as when somebody gives something to you and you don't really want it or like it, you just pass it on to somebody else. Now, it's been going on a lot longer than just 10 years. Some of you maybe had one of those big church weddings like we did. I was a youth minister when I got married. And so everybody in the church was invited to the wedding. And man, we were just overwhelmed with all of the toasters and blenders. And I forget some of the things that were just the gifts to give that year. But Catherine, I said, my goodness, look at all these. And I said, this is, you know, we need to just, you know, take these back. She said, no. And she started naming off the people's weddings that were coming up during the next 6 months. And she said, really? I mean, I can give these as gifts to them. And I began to look at them thinking, if these blenders could talk, you know, how many weddings have they already been to? How many receptions have these toasters seen as they've been re-gifted from place to place? Now, there are actually websites that will tell you how to re-gift and get away with it. I mean, there's National Re-Gifting Day, which is the 20th of December. I don't know who put National Re-Gifting Day together, but I did come across this list of five, a handful of rules for re-gifting. Number one, do not give a gift to the same person who gave it to you. Now, this is a pretty basic rule, all right? So if somebody gives you something, do not give it back to them. I actually read about one couple who had given a gift, and it was something like a box of chocolate-covered cherries that were a special brand. And they went to a Christmas party and gave it to the host, and the host just held it and looked at it and said, this means so much to me. And they said, oh, why? She said, because I gave this to Susan last Christmas, just down the block. And you know, of course, everybody's face was red and they ended up laughing, but they had no idea they had returned that same box of chocolate-covered cherries back to the one who gave it. Do not re-gift something that's been monogrammed. Okay? If your initials are on it, do not re-give it to somebody. If an item is scratched or dented, do not re-gift it. The gift should look brand new. And whatever you do, don't try and take advantage of friends who are visually impaired. This person was just very kind about that. Number four, don't re-gift anything with a company logo printed on it. unless it has four wheels and an exhaust pipe. Don't even think of regifting mugs, keychains, or pins that say 2004 Republican National Convention. I mean, it doesn't work out well. And number five, do not reuse the card you received with the gift. In other words, don't scratch out one name and write another name underneath. It's a dead giveaway that it's a regift. It says it's a bad idea even if you have a convenient name and can change the words. Like love dad, you know, if it's love Soledad, if that who you happen to be giving it to. So these guys have taken all this time, and I thought, do you know who the original or one of the original regifters was? It was Jesus, whose last words on earth were, I want you to take the gift I've given to you and do what? Give it somebody else. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this season of the year, for the joy and fun of Christmas, for families gathering, for friends coming in from out of town. And today we ask that you give us the awareness of what you have given to us that we might, well, Father, re-gift it. Give it again and share it, because it is the perfect regift. Lord, I pray today for folks who are so desperately in need of it in different ways. And God, when I saw the frost on my car this morning, having parked it outside, I also thought about men and women who may have slept outside last night here in this city. God, make us mindful of the needs of those who just find themselves at their wit's end of where to turn and what to do. We pray all this in Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, amen. Now, I normally wouldn't do this during the service, but we're going to go ahead and have the reverse basket pass right now. So if you helped with the contribution, if you'll go back one more time, there are some baskets back there that we're going to let you pass out. And this time we're going to let you take something out of it. How many had a little bit? Anybody park outside last night and get a little frost on your car this morning? Anybody maybe see a little bit on the grass? It's just the weather has finally turned. Every year on New Year's Day for the last, I don't know, at least 10 years, and I'm not sure, listen to how long this has been going on, but this church does something to try and touch the lives of homeless men in this city who on New Year's Eve are sleeping in a homeless shelter. I'm going to go ahead and have those guys just start passing those baskets. And what I'd like you to do is just to grab a card out of the basket. These cards are going to be attached to or put in with a new shirt that will be given to every man who sleeps in a homeless shelter on New Year's Eve this year. I believe we're up to something like 750. Is that the count, Lucinda? Which is up from the number of what it used to be. The economy being what it is, maybe that's no surprise. Now, I need you to know that Lucinda told me a story that I just thought, wow. The new shirts that are given are nice, warm shirts. And I think they're both helpful and meaningful to these guys. But we started, last year, year before, putting handwritten notes in with them. And the report we got back is, while they enjoyed the shirts, some of those guys folded up those notes and kept them with them all year long because it was so meaningful that there was an actual handwritten, somebody cared. It wasn't a pre-printed tract. It wasn't something that they just stuffed in the boxes, but rather someone took time to write a note of encouragement. A note saying, you know, God really cares for you and loves you. So here's what we're asking you to do today. Whether you do it over the next half an hour or whether you want to wait during Bible class and slip back into the gym where there'll be donuts and cider and write it there, there's going to be a basket on the stage, and then at the in between Bible class, no, not Bible class today, as this service concludes, Lucinda Benson is going to be out in the lobby with a basket you can drop these notes in. She'll also have another little envelope that you can drop some money in, because we've always just supported this simply and separately by people giving her donations, and that'll happen this week and next week. And God just takes care of this program in that way. Would you write something meaningful? Would you write something? Maybe you just need to ask yourself, what would hit you if you felt like you were on the bottom rung and just needed to know God still cares, And God's got a plan for you. And we'll just drop those out there during the break after the service. You know, it's just for many of us to think about a place where you don't even have some place to lay your head. You think, I've never been there. Some of our congregation know exactly what that feels like, because some of you, that's been part of your experience. Maybe that's why Jesus was born in a barn, because there was no place for him in one of the homes. May we never forget that part of the Christmas story. Amen? Yes. Well, let's go to the end of Jesus' life. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about the really good gift and given you some tips on how to give it. We started out with this one. Anybody remember what tip number one is? It's not a good gift if you don't what? Give it. It's not a good gift if you don't give it. The gift of salvation, which God's blessed you with, if you and I don't take time to give it, how can we call it a gift? If we're too, fill in the blank, scared, nervous, worried, busy, it's not a good gift if you don't give it. Second, we said everybody deserves a good gift, even Samaritans. Amen. No matter who you are or where you are, God loves you. And his desire is that you should receive the good gift. Whether your skin is the same color as mine, whether you speak the same language I do, whether you live in the same part of the city I do, whether your kids are different from mine, whether you're single, whether you're older, whether you're younger, God said, for God so loved the world. And thirdly, last week we said, it's not a good gift unless they get it. Unless we share it in such a way that folks can understand it. Which means that our manner and our message is right. The attitude we have, the approach we have. Somebody tweeted the other day, in fact it was right after Black Friday, a preacher friend of mine tweeted something like, you know it's Christmas and the season of good cheer has arrived. When people are trampling one another in Walmart. There's a sad truth in that. That my manner can be so abrupt, even about sharing Christianity, that it's almost like a Black Friday kind of thing. My attitude of superiority or of elitism can so anger and demean others that they just don't get it. So, knowing we're going to try and give the good gift, but not giving it away, people don't get it, let's get to this last tip, which is regifting is expected by Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Three words. But some, what? Doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That ought to get your attention. All authority in heaven and on earth. There is no place, Jesus says, where you're outside my jurisdiction. God has granted me full and complete authority without limits. Which means whatever comes next, it's for you. Therefore, go, can you read it with me, and make disciples of all nations. Now that simple phrase, sometimes called the Great Commission, is for us to go and guide others towards Jesus, to give away the good gift. Not just to share information. It's not information, it's transformation he's talking about. Making disciples. The word disciple, as many of you may know, is a follower. It is someone who is committed to following in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus says, here, with all authority, I tell you this. Go and make disciples of all nations. What does that look like, Christ? Look at how the verse continues. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the... So he says, here's part of this disciple-making process. When somebody says, I want to follow Jesus, then I want you to baptize them. The word baptize simply means to be immersed. It's an important part of how we share when someone says, I want to be a Christian. Well, we want to know, do you believe in Christ? Yes, I do. Great, then we'll baptize you into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there's no magic formula. Had a lady come up to me and ask the question, when I was baptized, I was just baptized into Jesus. I wasn't baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I don't see here that Jesus is giving some secret incantation that is said. And of course, in the Gospel of John, the scripture tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So truly, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all one. But Jesus here says, I want people to understand that when they are baptized, they are being baptized in the totality of the Godhead. The Father, who loves you like it's going out of style. The Son, older brother who gave his life for you. And the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within you, and you will never be alone again. All of that is there. Now, right at that moment, I may have a tendency to say, woohoo, let's have the party, we're done. But Jesus doesn't quit there, does he? Let's read the rest of his words. And teaching them to obey, sorry, back up one so they can read it on the screen if you would. And teaching them to obey everything I have. Now, do you hear that loop? He just put you into a feedback loop. He says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey what? Everything I taught you. Which brings me right back to, what is it that I'm supposed to teach this brand new disciple? Go make disciples. It's the regifting cycle. It was Jesus' expectation that that cycle would be continuing, that you and I would not quit. So here's our fourth tip. Very simply, regifting is expected. Jesus' plan was that the gift would be shared by those who had received it. And it starts right off in the book of John. John chapter 1 and verse 40. The scripture says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to what? Find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That regifting is only going to happen when I realize how good a gift I've been given. Now, sometimes we regift because we get a weird gift. If any of you have been into white elephant parties, where you go and everybody brings these weird things they don't want anymore or don't need. It's been a tradition for our church staff when we get together for our staff Christmas parties that we bring ornaments. And sometimes it's ornaments that we've had, and sometimes it's ornaments that somebody's purchased. And every now and then, this year, there was just a really beautiful pickle. It was a green pickle ornament, which it's just lovely. And of course, it got passed around, and I'm sure will come back year after year, being introduced this year because somebody, I'm sure, was given it. Why would anybody give somebody a green pickle? I mean, unless you were like a pickle farmer. Are pickles farmed? I guess somebody has to grow them, right? So maybe if you're a pickle connoisseur. But for most of us, you'd get a gift like that and say, what in the world? Where did you come up with this? The Pokemon bunny slippers. I mean, just, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? Some new gadget for your kitchen that you really just don't need. Why do I have this? It's two kind of gifts, I suppose, that you could say are regifted. One, the kind of gifts that you just don't want that you give away. And two, something that is so good, but you can't use it all. Something that's so wonderful, but you think, well, I can't use this. Years ago, friends living in California had been given a one-year pass to Disneyland. They could go any day, any time they wanted. Now, first off, that's a way to mess up children. Disneyland should not be that way. But they had a one-year pass to Disneyland, which, quite frankly, wasn't that much more expensive than buying 1 or 2 days at Disney for somebody who lives in the area. And later on, we ended up actually being given by the church a one-year pass to Disneyland. And, well, we enjoyed it, but it was weird, you know. Well, this family that got it ended up moving out of state. And they had this one-year pass, and they checked, and they were able to give it to somebody else and re-register it. What a wonderful gift, right? I can't use it anymore. I could have kept it in my wallet. I could have tucked it in a drawer. And I suppose I had the right to go anytime if I wanted to fly there from Connecticut. But the truth was, they said, we can let somebody else use this. Now, here's the amazing thing about Christianity. Folks, you don't lose your privileges when you give Christ away. Amen? You still have all of the blessings, you still have all the goods, and yet you get to give it away and multiply it. Jesus says, if it's really, really good, don't you want to share it? Dinner the other night, somebody was just overflowing about a certain movie that's out. He said, oh, have you seen this? This is so good. I think it's going to be an Oscar film. And they were sharing it with everybody at the table. And everybody said, no, what's the name of that movie? Okay, we want to check that out. The reason they were sharing it was because they enjoyed it so much. I still remember as a college student in Southern California going to see the first of the Star Wars films. A buddy of mine said, man, you have got to see this thing. It's amazing. Right at the opening of the film, this giant ship comes overhead. And it's just, it was back when it was cool. I promise. It really was. It was astounding. Brand new special effects that nobody'd seen. And we went and we stood in line and we saw the movie. And what do you think the first thing was when I got back to my dorm after seeing that film? I am knocking on doors. I am down in the common room saying, have you seen this thing? This is unbelievable. We're going to go again Friday night. Come go with us. When something's really amazing, really wonderful, really fantastic, you're going to share it. Can I get a oh yeah? Well, it's, boy, that was a thrilling Christmas. Oh yeah, well, I'm not sure. Am I committing to something? One more time. If something's really wonderful, you're going to share it. Amen? Oh yeah, all right, now you're totally confused. Here's my question. What holds us back? What keeps me from re-gifting? Is it possible that I haven't realized how good the gospel is? Or maybe I just haven't realized what a blessing is to share something that's really good. In the 4th chapter of the book of John, Jesus has had the moment with a Samaritan woman that when Patrick Mead was with us, and I think that sermon is now online for those of you who have heard all the buzz. See, there's another example of it. Did you hear that guy from Scotland? Or did you hear that guy that spoke the other day? He was so good. Well, now you can go online and watch the sermon right there online. But when the woman finishes with Jesus, Patrick didn't talk much about this part. Jesus has that wonderful moment of revealing her past to her. And then of him saying, listen, woman, there's one who is coming and is now right here before you who can answer the questions you have and give you the hope you need. And she is thrilled. And what does she do? I want you to read the red words. All right, here we go. Then leaving her water jar, the woman and... Now, by the way, remember, this is the town where, as Patrick told us, she was not honored and respected. This is the town where she was not the mayor. She was not handed the key to the city. If anything, she was shown the door of the city. She was on the bottom rung of society, and yet she rushes back to say, I have just experienced something that is so good. You have got to have this. You have got to see this. Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? Now, it's that last line that knocks me right down. You know what that last line tells me? She wasn't sure. She was still on the journey. She was still wrestling through to faith. She wasn't where you are. How many baptized believers have we got here today? How many Christians who would own up to it publicly? Go ahead. If you won't raise your hand in here, you are toast out there. Just raise it high, all right? If you just said that I am a believer, then you are miles down the road from where this sweet woman was. She was asking, well, could this be the Christ? Not saying this is the Christ, because we believe Jesus is the Christ. Amen? If we firmly believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, then we're beyond where this lady is, and yet she's already back to her friend saying, I'm not sure, but I think, could this be? Come check it out. And look what the response is. You skip down just a few more verses, and the scripture says that the people from the city came out, and many believed because of the woman's testimony. What they saw in her eyes, what they saw in her demeanor, prompted them to say, I need to check this out. Now, I don't know how you invite someone to a life group or how you invite someone to church. But does it cause them to say, I need to check this out? Our Bible class, and we had an open house on Thursday night, and some members of the church here came, and I guess I can tell this. Russ Wilkinson and Debbie, who were in our class, came. And, you know, it's Christmas, and so you got all kinds of sweets and goodies. And Russ brought this little Tupperware dish and set it out and opened it up. And I said, what are those? He said, those are sausage balls. I thought, Well, Debbie, you know, and Russ said, no, I made them. Now, Russ, by trade, is an auto mechanic. An auto mechanic and chef don't often, you know, kind of crisscross, at least in my experience. I said, oh, Russ, you did not. He said, yeah, I did. I made them. And Debbie said, yeah, they're that easy. And Russ said, yeah, they are. They really are. And I said, wow, So here's all this chocolate stuff, and man, I enjoy chocolates, but I thought, so I grabbed one of them, and he said, you got to dip it in the sauce. I made that sauce. You got to dip it in the sauce. So I dipped it in the sauce and ate it. I'm telling you, it was delicious. Maybe it was because it was the savory after all the sweets I'd had. Maybe it was the secret sauce he made. But man, I grabbed a second one and dipped it in there. Wow. And I turned to all these people who were talking, and I found myself just talking, have you tried the sausage balls? Russ made them first, which is amazing. And second, you need to and be sure and dip it in the sauce. Do you know how easy and natural that was? Because I was thinking, man, this is, the taste is still in my mouth. Now, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I don't always share Jesus with that much enthusiasm. How about you? What's wrong with that picture? How in the world can I get more excited about a sausage ball than a Savior, right? How in the world can I be more enthused about Star Wars than about a Savior? Because Satan's full-time goal is to keep me from re-gifting Jesus. He says, share the sausage. Share Star Wars. Just don't share that Savior. And he will do everything he can to make me think, well, it'll be embarrassing. Well, I'm pushing my religion down their throat. Well, they're going to feel uncomfortable. Well, maybe they already have a church. I went to people in that kitchen I know had been 3 or 4 times to the buffet line, but it didn't slow me down. You got to try. I know you're full, but you got to try the sausage balls. Brothers and sisters, shouldn't we be saying to folks, you have got to come check out Jesus. You've got to come experience worship. Come with us on Christmas morning. Come with us on Christmas Eve. Somebody said, you know, I was going to invite a friend to church right at Christmas time, and then I realized it's right on Christmas, and I felt so awkward about it. Brothers and sisters, you will never regret investing and inviting. You will never regret reaching out and sharing. And you may say, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure that people would listen. It's so difficult. Can I share with you one story? One story from this church. Somewhere in the mid-90s, Fred Wrangham came to be part of this congregation. He'd attended, I think, the Plaza Church. And rather than actually me tell it, I want to let Fred tell this story, and we've done it on video, so we've got it right here. Would you roll the re-gifting video for me?
My name is Fred Wrangham, and tell you a little bit of our story. I originally started attending the Plaza congregation, and then when it closed, I came to Providence Road, and my wife started coming with me.
I'm Marcia Rangham, Fred's wife, and I started attending Providence Road probably in 1981 and met Mike and Vicki Davis, who reached out to us, and the Bannister family. And eventually I was baptized, and my son Travis grew up here at Providence Road.
Name's Travis Rangham, son of Fred and Marcia Rangham. Going to Providence Road pretty much my whole life. Was friends in high school with Casey Weimer and brought her to church, and my father ended up baptizing her. And then Casey told her brother, Brandon Weimer, who was married to Kim, about Providence Road.
Hi, I'm Brandon Weimer. My sister Casey invited us to visit here at Providence Road, and we immediately felt at home. We felt a sense of family, a sense of community, and we decided that this was a place that we wanted to be, that we wanted to come and worship. So we started attending regularly, and after some Bible study, we made the decision to be baptized. And we've been here ever since. This is going on 6 years now. And we invited my mom to come and attend with us.
Hi, I'm Joyce Weimer. I actually first came to Providence Road when my daughter Casey invited me. I visited a few times and I really enjoyed it. So when my son Brandon and his wife Kim were looking for a home church, they invited me to come back with them. So I started coming again. I really enjoy coming here. The people make you feel at home. I got a wonderful message, and after a few years, decided to become baptized. And my son Brandon actually was the one who baptized me. So I've been coming ever since, and I really love coming here. I enjoy the message that I get. I enjoy the people and feeling so welcome, and it's home for me.
It's not hard. It's not difficult. And God gets the praise every time something good happens. And the church said, amen. When I pulled in, I saw the big truck out there. Today's blood drive day. And they've got a new slogan on the side of it. At least I haven't seen it before. Big red letters out there. It says, "Are you the one that saved my life?" with a question mark. And there's the face of a young man. There's the face of a lady. I don't know who came up with that, but that's great. Are you the one that saved my life? When you took a moment to give blood? I suppose we could put up a billboard like that too. Are you the one that saved my life? When you took a moment to invite me. That time you invited me to Christmas Eve. That time you invited me to the January sermon series. That time that you said, "We've got a life group that meets on Tuesdays at our house. Would you like to come?" Are you the one? Now, of course, our answer would be, "I'm not the one that saved you. Jesus did that. I'm just a re-gifter, because that's what Christ called me to do." Will you bow with me? Father, help us re-gift. This season, when there's wrapping and bows and presents and trees, when family are coming and going, Lord, will you get us as excited about sharing Jesus as we are about sharing anything in our world? And Father, when we do that, may you receive all the glory and all the honor. God, I pray today for folks who are here who have never given their life to Jesus. Maybe they've never been baptized like Joyce Weimer was, or Father, like Marcia Rangham was, or Brandon, or Casey, or Kim. God, that moment of being baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what a gift. And Lord, what a great way to share in the Christmas story of being adopted by a God who loves you so because of a baby who was born in a barn. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who needs to make that step today or is just looking for information about that, God, that they would choose this time to say, I want to know that security and that joy. And Father, for all of us who are desperately in need of re-gifting, of getting busy, of sharing Christ, and maybe we've sat here and said, God, forgive me, I haven't been sharing it because I haven't been living it. Lord, I pray that when this invitation song is sung, those folks might step out and say, I need to begin my walk again with the Savior. Father, for anyone who's burdened and hurting and just needs prayers, Lord, will you bless them with the courage to come, that we might come before your throne on their behalf.
Send us out to give the good gift, Lord. I pray in Christ Jesus' holy name. And all that agree say, amen. This morning we always end with that invitation song. And maybe it kind of just feels like one more Christmas carol, one more moment. Well, don't miss it. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, if you've never been baptized in His name, we'd love to share the greatest gift of all with you. And if you have, but you're sitting here saying, I have never re-gifted Christ to one person in my entire life, maybe it's time you throw down and say, Jesus, we're doing it. This year, before the year ends, I'm going to share Christ with somebody. You say, am I sure they're going to respond? No, our job is not to convict or to convert. That belongs to the Holy Spirit. Amen? What we get to do is we get to hold out the gift of life. If that causes you to say, I need prayers, or if you're here to make your commitment to Christ today, this front row's open. While we stand and while we sing, if you're in need, won't you come?